Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome in, everybody, to a nighttime edition of Football 24/7 after the Eagles get their second preseason win. Johnny Mack, 14-13. The Eagles squeak it out versus the Patriots. hey, how you doing on this Thursday night, Johnny Mack?
Well, I was going to pretend it wasn't a tough watch, but let's not pretend. It was a tough watch. But the Eagles got it done, man. They're preseason closers. They find a way to win at the end of these preseason games. So it's the Tanner McKee game. You're going to hear that that train pick up some speed. I already saw Mike Garofolo tweet about the quarterback two situation. I thought it was funny watching the broadcast. It almost seemed like they put Spadaro on there to try to calm that down. That was my first thought. Everybody's going to be on that train. And I get it. I tell people, look, Kenny Pickett's the backup quarterback. It's not changing. Now, people can accept that or not. It's not changing. So from that instance, Dave is correct. The only thing I'll say is the Patriots played their starters on the defensive front, and the Eagles got wrecked early, the Eagles' second-team offensive line. And when Tanner was in there, it was much more even sort of matchup, and he was able to get some things done. But while saying that, I completely get why people are going to go down that route. I expect it. But I'm just warning you, don't get excited about it because it ain't happening. The Eagles like him a lot, but he's the third-string quarterback. They want to develop him, and Kenny Pickett's going to be the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the report coming from you. I'm happy you addressed it out of the gate because everybody's been talking about it already, but boy, Johnny Mack, two preseason games in, Tanner McKee does look like the better quarterback. I know that maybe it's different, you know, maybe you can add context and it's not the end-all be-all and it's not the best way to grade, but Tanner McKee just looks like a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett to me, so.
Well, yeah, it was sort of the same thing, and I was at, like, I'm at the point, and I tweeted out there, I'm like, look, Vic, I love you, but I don't know what you're waiting on. N'Kobe Dean is the best linebacker on the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's not close. It's not close. And ultimately, I think he's going to get there in week one. So I'm kind of like that with N'Kobe right now. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? I mean, I get it. You wanted to see it. You wanted to see him prove it. All right, now he's proven it. Let's stop the nonsense. And ultimately, he's like I said, he's going to be out there week one. There's no question in my mind. But so I'm like that with that. And I asked Vic that question over the weekend coming back from Baltimore. And he added the context, which he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong, because N'Kobe played very well in Baltimore, and he tempered it. And he said, you know, understand it was against second and third team guys. And he's right. And that's what I'm doing with Tanner McKay. Understand he had a much easier defensive problem to solve than Kenny Pickett and that second team offensive lineman did. So that's the context. It's kind of all I'm putting out there. But yeah, he looked much better than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing. I mean, by reports, everybody's saying it's going to be Kenny Pickett, no matter how good Tanner looks. But it is fun that we have a QB controversy still in Philadelphia, John. It's just not with the starting quarterback. It's with the backup quarterback. So we'll continue to monitor that in camp. Johnny Mack, you brought up N'Kobe Dean there. Any other takeaways, you know, from the game tonight? I know not many. I know it was a snooze fest, but what other takeaways did you have tonight?
Well, I thought it was interesting that, you know, Bryce Huff played well. I thought two things interesting. He wasn't a deference player, which kind of surprised me. Eagles set a lot of people, obviously. Most of the key offensive starters and a lot of the more defensive starters played. Devin White played, Zach Bond played, Isaiah Rogers played, Quinyon Mitchell, and Bryce Huff, which was the surprise to me. And, you know, maybe it put a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he only played two series, but he was, was almost in on every play. So he had a pretty impressive showing. I thought Joseph Nada, man, came out of nowhere. I thought that's by far the best he's played, and not only in the game, but in practice. I thought EJ Jenkins played well, made that great catch when Will Grier was out there. That was weird. They put Will Grier out there for one drive.
Yeah, did he get hurt or something?
I know. And they put Tanner McKee. Maybe he got hurt. He didn't look hurt. He didn't look hurt.
I didn't see anything. Yeah, but
so I'm sure Nick's going to get asked that after, and maybe he did tweak something. So maybe we'll figure out. But that was weird. Braden Mann handling the kickoffs. That was weird. That's going to be interesting to talk.
Is that
to
a precautionary thing with Jake, or is that an actual strategy with the new kickoff rules?
I don't think it's a strategy. Maybe it's just trying to get him, and we'll get Michael Clay at some point next week. And he'll certainly be asked about that. But Michael's not going to talk after the game. That'll probably get, you know, I'm not there, so that'll probably get lost in the sauce. I doubt anybody asked Nick that, so we'll probably have to wait until we get to talk to Michael Clay. Avante Maddox with the big interception early.
That was a pretty interception, John.
Yeah, that's a veteran player reading the play. That was a really nice job by Avante. I thought that was a positive. Late Thomas Booker was another guy who was really impressive. He's kind of flashed throughout camp. You know, the numbers game is tough against him, but he had back-to-back really good pass rushes. I thought that was impressive.
It's going to be interesting to see how he does there. I thought he played well tonight,
Booker. Yeah, he did. You know, the bad snap, Brandon Smith finally back on the field, and he closes out the game, and it's nice to see him because he was dealing with a concussion. That's part of, you know, they lost not only Johnny Wilson, they lost Johnny Wilson to a concussion. Didn't come out on Tuesday, but it evidently got it at the practice. And then all of a sudden, John Ross is getting looked at for a concussion in the game. So that's sort of what gave Joseph Nada that big chance down the stretch. And he and Tanner McKee were cooking together. So he took advantage of his opportunity. And, you know, the first team offense was not good, but again, it was the second team Eagles offense against the first team Patriots defense. So maybe that should have been expected.
Good stuff there, John. We're going to do a little bit of a rapid fire on players that stood out. Let's start on that defensive side of the ball. Not players that stood out, but just players that have to be talked about that everybody's been looking for an update on, that everybody had their sights set on going into the game. You started with N'Kobe Dean. You said he looked good tonight. But let's start with all the linebackers, John. Devin White played, Zach Bond played, N'Kobe Dean, Trotter Jr., and the rest of the crew. What did you see from mainly those four guys, but the whole linebacker core tonight?
Well, I thought Zach Bond played better. You know, he had a bad game at Baltimore, so he really came back and bounced back and was out there for a short period and really showed up a little bit. So nice bounce back performance for him. You know, when I watch the game again, I'll get a better – I didn't notice Devin White good or bad, so that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
You know, he wasn't out of position like he was in Baltimore, so it's not necessarily a bad thing. Didn't stand out either. I thought N'Kobe was tremendous out there. Now, again – you know, Big's going to say it was against second, third teamers, and he's right. So that part of it is. But I thought he played really well. I thought, you know, Trotter showed the instincts again. You can kind of see why the Eagles are so excited by him. And then Ben again. Ben Van Sumeren late made some plays.
Yeah.
Had really good coverage on one aspect. You know, you thought maybe – if it were a little bit of a worse throw, he might even had an opportunity to get an interception there or certainly a PBU. So mostly positive from the linebackers, I thought, especially. But N'Kobe's the best linebacker on this team. And I'm at the point where it's like, what are you watching if you can't see that? You know? That's where I am.
We'll see if they get him out there in that first game. I am moving more toward your direction of N'Kobe Dean should be the starter out there. I thought he looked good tonight. I think he continues to look pretty good. So we'll see if he's gets out there. John, let's move into the cornerbacks. Quinyon Mitchell, Kelee Ringo, two guys that everybody was waiting to see tonight. What did you see from those two guys and then just the rest of the cornerbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think that the guys who started were tested all that much, because I think, you know, Jacoby Brissett was bad. So I don't think they were tested. Then when Drake May came in, it was a little bit more difficult. At least he could serviceably get the football down the field a little bit. I don't think they were tested. I certainly, you know, Rodgers gave up a little pass. I forget who caught it, but it was Rager, you know, which is never a good thing if you're an Eagles fan. But, you know, it wasn't terrible or anything.
No, yeah. And, that was actually a pretty good grab by Rager.
Yeah, it was. But anytime you bring up that name to an Eagles fan, they're going to be upset if they give up anything.
So, he had a good punt return tonight, too.
Yeah. Well, he's got talent. I told people that he's very athletic, but obviously it didn't pan out. But we're not going to talk about that. I thought they were fine, but I don't think they were tested against this team, to be honest.
Yeah, good stuff there, Johnny Mac. Not much from the corners. You're right about that. We talked about the QBs. Let's stay on the defensive side real quick. Nolan Smith, John, did you see anything from him tonight? And then Bryce Huff, the other guy people wanted the update on. I know he was only out there.
Oh, Huff was great, but yeah, it was only Huff two series. Yep. I mean, he barely played.
He made his presence known tonight for sure in those two series.
Yeah, so positive. I think he had four tackles in like two series, which, you know, he's a defensive end essentially. Edge rusher, whatever you want to call it. So anytime those guys are showing up in that aspect. And he probably had a chip on his shoulder when he saw everybody sitting you know, Jalen Carter set, Jordan Davis set, Milton Williams set, Josh Sweat set, and poor, you know, Bryce Huff has got to go out there and dress. Not poor. I mean, he's used to it. He's got – it's funny because, you know, I always talk about Hassan has a chip on his shoulder for a different reason. I mean, he didn't – he was a first-round pick, but he was, you know, playing out of position early in his career. And then he has double-digit sacks in four consecutive years, and nobody believes he's up there with the top pass rushers or should be up there from – a monetary standpoint. So that's the reason he's got the chip on the shoulder. Huff's got the chip on the shoulder because he was undrafted and nobody believes he deserves his contract. And everybody thinks he's, you know, because he hasn't shown up against Lane Johnson in practice. He's getting a lot of questions. And so I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I think he showed it today. And he played really well in that short stint that he was out there.
What about Nolan Smith, John?
Well, he got a sack. You know, I got a feeling. You know, he cleaned up. I think that's what Vic Fangio said about his first sack. So it's another guy. I think he was fine. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was bad. But anytime you get sacks and you got a sack, people are going to be excited.
Yeah, pretty weak sack, but he did get one. So good stuff.
He closed it.
Yeah,
some sacks people can't close it.
Yeah, sacks a sack. No doubt about it. John, any other people on the defensive side of the ball tonight that stood out to you? Good, bad, indifferent? What'd you think of the rest of the defense tonight?
I thought Tristan McCollum played well again.
Yeah, he keeps popping around. He's a solid player.
Yeah, a tough numbers game for him. I don't know if the Eagles are going to have to move Bradbury or, you know, we'll see what they do with Maddox. Caden Stearns as well. Now he's involved. So it's a tough numbers game for Tristan, but he's played well. And certainly the Eagles will want to keep him around on the practice squad. We'll see if they can get him there. I mentioned Thomas Booker. He was great late in the game. And he splashed at training camp at times pretty consistently. Yeah, I thought Jalex was okay. I don't think he flashed to the degree of Booker or, you know, somebody like McCollum, but
yeah.
He's the third round pick. So,
yeah, that's a good one. People, Patrick Johnson's made a couple plays.
Oh, Patrick Johnson. Yeah. He's making life tough for Howie Rose.
Yeah. He's been great.
You know, I always talk about TJ Edwards and how TJ remade his body. So, all those goofballs who always say, oh, TJ ran a 4.8, they have no idea what he showed up like and what he turned into as far as, you know, getting himself in shape and turning himself into the player he has become. I get a sense of that with Patrick Johnson. He's like a completely different guy physically when he first got here. So, you know, he's showing up. I don't know how you keep him when you have Huff and Sweat.
Yeah,
and tough. Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham at Jalex Hunt. Can he keep six edge rushers? He's also one of their best special teams players. And that's one of the, you know, he's really their fifth best edge rusher. And you could argue he's even better than some of the other guys. So that's what you're supposed to do at the bottom of the roster. Make Howie's decisions difficult, make his life a little bit difficult. And Patrick Johnson is certainly doing that.
Patrick Johnson was what, John? A seventh round pick?
Yeah, seventh round
pick. Toledo, is that what it was?
No, he where's where's he from? I'm looking.
Tulane.
Yeah, Louisiana.
I knew it was a T.
Yeah. So yeah, he was a seventh round pick. Teron Jackson, who's still around, but you know, this is probably the end of the road for him, was a sixth rounder that year. So he's turned into a little bit more of a contributor than Teron as the seventh round pick.
Good stuff on the defensive side of the ball, John. Let's move to that offensive side of the ball real quick. We talked about the quarterbacks, the brewing QB2 controversy. John, you might quiet it down on this show, but on social media, it's ablaze.
I get why they're doing it. I said that. I just said, you know, it's the same thing with the Justin Simmons stuff, which we can officially close finally.
Yeah, all that today.
The Atlanta Falcons.
I'm pumped for Johnny Mack for that one.
Well, I mean, you know, you can believe what you ever want to believe. I mean, that's up to the fans. But there are certain things that, you know, that we know that aren't going to happen. And this is one of them, just like Justin Simmons was one of them. And you can believe what you want to believe. I can't force people, but Kenny Pickett's going to be the backup quarterback. And I get why people think Tanner McKee is better, but to me, it's a waste of time. You can disagree with their evaluation. That's fine.
All right. Well, what about your evaluation? Take off the reporter shoes, because I know you know that the Eagles aren't gonna make him QB2. But from an evaluation standpoint, with what you've seen, does Tanner McKee look better to you?
He looked better tonight, but I know why he looked better. And he looked, like I said, it was Eagles' second team offensive line against Patriots' first team defensive front. And he was getting wrecked. The Eagles, he got sacked four times. And when you're in that type of situation, you're not going to look good. And then Tanner comes in, it's backups against backups, and he looked tremendous. If he were in that position, would he have looked tremendous? No. Would he have looked better than Kenny Pickett? Perhaps. But, you know, Kenny started, 24 games in Pittsburgh. He's proven he can win in this league. Even if you play better than somebody 1 week, doesn't mean you're going to play better than somebody consistently. So when I make that comp tonight, and I'm on the N'Kobe Dean train while everybody else is on the Tanner McKee train, the difference for me is N'Kobe has played, not a lot, but has played with first team players, and he has shown that he can perform at an acceptable level, where we have not seen Tanner McKee play against first-team NFL players. I don't think that would be a pleasant scenario, especially
doesn't look playing like it'd be pleasant with Pickett either, though, I got to be honest.
Well, it wasn't pleasant. You saw it with Pickett.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is –
five, twice, right?
Yeah, 7-5 twice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tonight. You saw it with Pickett tonight. Tonight was Pickett behind with Pickett with second team players against Patriots first team players. That's what tonight was. That's what I'm saying. If Tanner McKee was out there with second team players against the Patriots first team, it would not have been pretty. You know, he's not the most mobile guy in the world. And if you had that same siege against him, it's not going to be pretty.
Get ready, Johnny Mack. We'll be talking about it on Birds 365 for the next couple of months.
I hope we're not talking about the backup quarterback, because the starting quarterback is going to be the starting quarterback. Yeah, that's what
I was about to say. Unless, I mean, hopefully we're not. Honestly, hopefully we're not. But at least
again, what makes the evaluation difficult, if Kenny Pickett has to play, and you hope he doesn't have to play, But if he has to play, he's going to be playing with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, et cetera, Saquon Barkley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll take Tanner McKee with those weapons all day, Johnny Mac.
Okay. Okay. I just, you know, I just warn you that throwing it to Joseph Nada against a bunch of guys who are going to be delivering Amazon packages in a couple of weeks ain't the same as going against first team NFL defenses.
All right. Like the Pickett, I will say there's a lot of talk about Pickett from everybody tonight, starting with as you pointed out, Dave Spadaro, who comes on the TV in perfect form after Twitter's going crazy. And he goes,
well, Dave was instructed to do it.
Okay, Dave. Thanks.
I was not instructed to do it. But you know, as Vic corrected me about Nakobe last week, that's what the coaches are gonna tell you. You know, and it's true. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is true. The fact that there's this incredible, and I talk about it all the time with starting players. There's this belief that everything is a vacuum. It's bizarre. It's like, you know, because you're good, and this is again with the starters, Xander, because you're good against a crappy right tackle, you're going to be good against Lane Johnson. Like if you're Micah Parsons eating somebody's lunch and then you go up next week against Lane Johnson, you don't get a sack. Everybody says, what's wrong with Micah Parsons? Everybody's not the same.
No, yeah, you're right. There's no doubt you're right about that. I just think some of the things from Kenny Pickett, just some of the zip on the ball, just not there. The placement's not there. And I don't know if that's all measured by who's on the field. I guess some of it is, obviously, but let's go.
I would say some of it is.
Well, I mean, more of his tangible skill sets, though, don't look like they're there and evident versus they are for Tanner McKee, regardless of who's playing with him.
Yeah. Well, that's a product of watching him throw against the 13 defense. You know, so you've seen.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and
being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So you've seen a bunch of completions against a third, maybe even fourth team defense, and you assume that's going to translate to the first team defense. It's just not.
You're talking about a backup here, so give me the arm talent. I think, do you agree that Tanner McKee is better arm talent than Kenny? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's more what I was saying.
But, you know, Kenny's much better athlete. So if Kenny can't deal with the pass rush, what makes you think Tanner's going to be able to deal with the pass rush?
Yeah, you're right about that. Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll take your word that it's going to be Kenny Pickett. All I'm telling you is they're going to be talking about it for at least the next couple of weeks before the regular season.
Oh, they're going to be talking about it. I already know. And it's fine. I already said I get why. I get it completely. One guy looks crappy. One guy looks great.
And Davey Spud's coming out putting gas on the fire on telecast was hilarious.
But you can't, the vacuum part of it is astonishing to me. Like, I can't get why people can't understand that. Like, you have to be able to understand there's a difference from playing against starters. And by the way, the Patriots defense is not bad. Their offense is bad. But their first team defense is not bad. And the Eagles' second team offensive line couldn't deal with them. Is that a surprise to anyone? They shouldn't be able to deal with them. Now, the first team, if they were out there, they would have been able to deal with them, but they weren't.
Good stuff, John. I got two super chats I want to hit. One's on the quarterbacks. We'll hit that first, and then we have one on the defense, and we'll pop back to the defense just for a second. Prince Swayze, who you've been going back and forth with recently, Johnny Mac. Ball placement is a significant difference between the two. Kenny has a weak arm, and everything is thrown underneath. And they throw
everything is thrown underneath. But, I mean, everything was thrown underneath last week as well with both quarterbacks. And everything was thrown underneath with Kenny. They took the one shot to John Ross when Kenny was in the game, and that was a bad throw, and that was a bad tracking from John Ross. That was bad on both ends.
That was tough to watch.
And that was it. Everything else was underneath, and it was pretty ugly. And part of that was because – part of it is the 2.3-second thing that I keep talking about with Kellen and Doug. But part of it is they were trying to get the ball out to, you know, because they couldn't pass protect as well. So, yeah, a bunch of things contributed to it. But I'm not trying to sit here and say Kenny played well. Kenny played like...
No, I know you're not. You're just saying Tanner McKee's not going to be the quarterback too. I get it. I'm done with this conversation already, and we're 5 minutes into it. We're about to have a 2-3 week run. So let's go to our man, Brian Fleming. Brian, thank you for the super chat, brother. We appreciate that very much. Brian says, loving Fangio playing press man and consistently blitzing from everywhere. Do you think this continues? Also, any crab cakes while at home, Johnny Mack? Good question there, Brian. Thank you for the super chat, man.
No, I haven't. I got to go to Baltimore just to get some crab cakes. But what was the question? Now I got crab cakes on my mind.
Yeah, Brian, you tripped the McMullen brain tonight after that preseason snooze fest. Yeah, things aren't firing quite like they normally do. Loving Fangio playing press man and consistently Where do you think this continues?
He did blitz a lot today. Now, I got to watch the game because I saw one Like a lot of times, it's not really a blitz. It looks like a blitz because he's blitzing a linebacker, but he's dropping somebody else. I saw late in the game, he did that with, I forget who it was. It might have been Terrell Lewis. But so you have to be careful to assume it's a blitz. It's a zone blitz. It's a Dom Capers zone blitz. But
right.
by definition, if you're rushing four, you're rushing four. He did throw a lot of run blitzes at New England. And, you know, Ross Tucker was talking about it a little bit. He said, you know, maybe he's looking at what N'Kobe does well, and N'Kobe seems to go downhill really well. Maybe he's trying to take advantage of it. I mean, the guy's been a coordinator for 25 stinking years. I don't think he's going to show up and be Wink Martindale. I guess anything's possible. But I think he's going to blitz 22% of the time, like he always blitzes 22% of the time. Maybe it's 23, maybe it's 21.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks, Johnny Mac.
Well, it's not even that. It's his whole philosophy is based on keeping the extra man in coverage. That's just what his whole philosophy is based on. It's the exact – we talk about the plus one on offense and the quarterback with the run game. He does the plus one on defense, and the extra defender's got to be in coverage. And he gave his whole blitz philosophy for everyone to hear if they were listening. You want to blitz, he said, first of all, you want to blitz when you want to blitz. Not you don't want to feel you have to blitz. In other words, if you can't get home with four, and then you feel you have to blitz, that's where he doesn't want to be. So he did blitz a lot in this game on first viewing, but you know, a couple of them at least I noticed weren't really blitzes. They looked like blitzes because he was sending somebody, but they were just replacing somebody else who was dropping. He's gonna dress it up more, so I think people will like it because it's dressed up more.
Good stuff, John. One more question, by the way, on defense. Good response there on Fangio and the blitzes. What do you think of James Bradberry at safety?
Yeah, I think he's been good. I didn't think he was great tonight, but overall in camp and practices, he's been good. It's been a pretty smooth transition. Like I said, I didn't notice anything egregiously bad, but a couple times I don't think he was in position from a run fit standpoint, which is a bigger deal as a safety. And that's to be expected. I mean, he's a veteran player, but he's still learning that particular position. So I think that is the most,
for sure.
I think it's the most uncertain position on the team. Because other than Reed and CJ, I mean, they have, you know, Sydney's going to be back, but until he is back, I think they like Caden Stearns. They picked him up for a reason. Vic had him before. I assume he approved it. But he's not healthy. And then you have Tristan McCollum playing well, and you have James Bradberry, who's done a good job in practice at least, and then Avante Maddox, who's making plays in the end zone. You're only keeping four. Who are you keeping?
John, let's move into that offense. We're already 34 minutes into the show here. Good show tonight, I know. I know it was a snooze fest game, but this has not been a snooze fest show. I've been enjoying it. Good stuff. John, let's move into that offense. We already talked about the quarterbacks. We're done talking about the quarterbacks for the rest of the night. Wide receiver battle, John. What'd you see from the wide receivers who were out there tonight?
Nada was great.
Nada was
good. I've never seen anything from Joseph Nada. And all of a sudden he showed up today.
He had some chemistry with Tanner.
Yeah, I saw I we can't we can't get, you know, I saw there's some Saint Nick vibes. These people are freaking crazy. They're watching third team quarterbacks, and now he's Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. You know, I can't help those people.
John, there's beat reporters that are tweeting the same thing. That's the problem. I mean, look, I love Elliot, but Elliot tweets, I can't help but notice how much Tanner McKee reminds me of Nick Foles. And I'm like, oh, God, Elliot, what are you
doing? Well, Elliot is, you know, Mr. Hot Take, let's be honest.
He is master troller, though. He is a master. He is a masterful at getting the clicks on social media. I got to give it to him.
Yeah. But yeah, look, if you want to get excited, get excited. You know, get excited. He's not going to be the backup. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Get excited.
Any other wide receivers, John, besides Nada, that did anything tonight for you? Anaya Smith had a 2-point conversion, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, that was a nice rub route to get him loose.
I like that.
Or pick route if you're the Patriots, depending on if you're the loser on the routes or winner. It's a rub route or a pick route. But that was a nice play to get him loose. And look, he caught the ball. You know, nothing big, but you see maybe some of the confidence coming back at least a little bit. He caught, you know, he had a couple punts he caught, and that's big. I think he only had one reception for 0 yards, but he caught it. And for where he's been, that's pretty good.
Any other player on any other wide receiver, John, that did anything to you that you noticed?
Well, EJ, but he's not a receiver.
All right, well, let's go tight ends then. I thought EJ was good tonight. I thought he had some great catches tonight. What'd you see from him and the rest of the tight ends?
Yeah, he's been great in camp, EJ Jenkins, and he had a bad game in Baltimore. So glad to see him bounce back. Got banged up a little bit, looked a little bit scary for a second, but he was able to get up. They need a third tight end. I mean, CJ Uzama's done nothing, and he's 32, 33 years old.
He's been struggling. He struggled to block it. I mean, he just hasn't done much at all, CJ Uzama.
Yeah, so maybe he's just shot, and you know, the Eagles don't – Albert Ogwegbanon can't get – back on the field. When he is on the field, he doesn't produce. You know, maybe EJ's a sneaky potential third tight end. I still think it's a long shot, but he's by far the best receiving tight end of the back end group after Goddard and Calcaterra. Now he's a former receiver, so that makes sense, but he's a big guy, big body. The problem is, you know, Grant's not a great blocker. If you keep EJ, he's not a great blocker. So that's where you kind of you kind of question, what do you want? And basically, Kellen Moore's history says he wants receiving tight ends. So, you know, that's probably the reason that competition we thought we were going to see at tight end two never manifested itself, because Grant Calcaterra is a good receiver and that's what he wants. So maybe he wants that at the third tight end as well. We'll see how that shakes out. I thought John Ross was, you know, he got the concussion. That's bad timing. I thought he was doing some decent things out there. He had a decent kick return. And then he got the concussion. That's going to set him back. And I thought Jacob Harris was somebody who needed to step forward. He had a drop. And then he had another chance to make a catch late in the game. He got 1 foot down, couldn't get the second put in, got pushed out of bounds. So I don't think it was a positive night for him. But, yeah, it was the Joe Nada show.
Yeah, good stuff there. Jameson drops in, says, J-Mac, just want to throw some love your way, brother. James, appreciate that. Johnny Mack, I'm sure he appreciates that too. If you're in the show tonight, we appreciate all you guys. Good crowd tonight. Thank you guys. Make sure you hit that like button. Help us get to at least 200 likes based on how many people are watching. 200 likes before we get out of here tonight. So thank you all for being in the chat. tonight. John, let's keep moving along that offense. I'll go running backs, and then we'll get to the offensive line. One more thing on the wide receivers. What's the update on Johnny Wilson? He was in concussion protocol.
He didn't play. He's in the concussion. He got hurt in the practice on Tuesday. So he didn't dress. He's in the concussion protocol. That's disappointing because, you know, he needs the reps and he would have been a big part of this game. But who knows if he plays, maybe Joe doesn't get, not maybe, definitely Joe doesn't get involved like he did. So, hey, Joe got an opportunity because Johnny was out and John Ross left the game early and he got a big opportunity and he seized it.
Good stuff from Joe Nada. John, let's go to those running backs. What'd you see from the group of running backs tonight? Did anybody stand out to you?
Bad day for Lou Nichols.
He struggled today.
Yeah, after Nick gave him all those props, not good. I think Ty Davis Price certainly looked better. Will Shipley looked good. I don't think Kenny Gainwell looked good today.
Yeah, he only played two series in the beginning.
Yeah, and like I said, they were getting destroyed. It wasn't just Kenny Pickett. They were getting destroyed and early in the game. Kenny was a part of that, so he couldn't get anything going. And I thought Will Shipley did a nice job, more as a receiver than a runner. I thought he did a nice job. Compared to last week, everybody was good in the backfield. This week, the only really positive, I think, was Ty Davis Price and then Will a little bit in the passing game. But
Kendall Milton had a touchdown, but he didn't do much other than that.
No, that was like a 1 yard touchdown. He plunged in. Good for him, but
Johnny Mack's not willing to give Kendall Milton any credit.
What are we doing? What? This is a 1 yard touchdown.
I'm looking for a sliver of something on Kendall Milton, and Johnny Mack just shuts it down, baby.
He could have lost yardage.
I love it. I respect it. I appreciate it.
It was a 1 yard. And by the way, Dylan McMahon and Tanner McKee screwed up the tush push.
Yeah, they stunk
at the tush push. When they get back, they're going to be set adrift on the Delaware River because they screwed up the tush push. And Tanner fumbled the snap of Dylan McMahon. So I don't know who to blame that on, but somebody's got to take that blame.
John, let's go to that offensive line. What did you see from them tonight? Did anybody stand out? I thought Darren Kennard had another good game. What did you see from the O-line tonight?
Well, they weren't good against the first team. And then they settled down. They were bad early because they were playing against starters. And then they settled down and were fine. I think it's a good second team offensive line. But they can't play against starters. But nobody should be surprised by that. And it's not even a big deal. It's like my surprise is like, why would you expect them to be like, I don't get coaches like Gerard Mayo or. You know, I get it from the standpoint of you want to get your work in, but like and you can't control the other team. But if you're just leaving your guys out there, like against second and like, what are you accomplishing? All right, if you want to get them some work, put them in for a series or two and get them out. Because they're not playing their guys. So what are you really accomplishing? I don't get that from a coach's standpoint. I get if they want to work, and they're not a great team, I get that standpoint. But I don't think the work is valuable. It's the same both ways. Like, that's what I'm trying to explain to people. That, to me, is not valuable. Maybe from a standpoint of gaining some competence, I guess you can argue that way. And say, look what we did against Darian Kennard. All right, is that going to carry over when you got to play Lane Johnson? No. So what does it really mean?
It's a good point.
It works both ways.
Yeah, you're right. Tyler Steen, John, left the game with an ankle injury. He just continues to go backwards. And then add to it, Mekhi Becton didn't even dress. So I think the right guard position is all but.
Yeah, I called that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mekhi Becton's the starting right guard. I don't know because I didn't listen to Nick's press conference. I'll check it out after we're done here. I don't know if he admitted it or not. But he's clearly the starting right guard. By the way, I don't think Tyler Steen was healthy coming back from the original ankle injury. He's been limping around pretty, you know, visibly. He was fighting through it. I don't think he's played poorly on the play he got hurt tonight. It was a nice play. They threw a stunt at them. Again, first team defense throwing a stunt at the second team offensive line, and he did everything right. He sent the guy to the right tackle and then picked up the guy making the stunt, and then he kind of got tangled up. I don't think he's played poorly, but he's not healthy, and you're not going to – and Jeff Stoutland seems to be enamored with Mekhi Becton. So it's going to be his job.
We'll see what ends up happening there. John, anything we missed from the game tonight? We did the offense. We did the defense.
Way too much about this game.
That's what we do, Johnny Mack. That's what we do. Did anything we miss? Any player we missed? Anybody in the chat? Anybody we missed that we need to talk about?
I don't think it's possible we missed anybody in this game. I will say about the Patriots. The Patriots better start Drake May day one. Because, my God, Jacoby Brissett.
He stinks.
And I don't think Drake May is ready. I did think they were going to steal the game with Bailey Zappe. They probably would have, but they had the bad snap. Because he's a veteran. He started games. And that's how you win preseason games, if you have the better last quarterback. And he was probably going to win the game, but they had the bad snap. I thought Ramondre Stevenson was a good test because he runs hard, man. He runs really hard.
John, how about Ringo? Did we talk about Ringo?
Not much. I didn't notice him much. I the corners to me weren't tested because of the bad quarterback play. I don't know what the Patriots threw for 90 yards. So –
oh my gosh.
None of them were bad, but they weren't tested.
I wonder what they're going to do with Avante Maddox, but, you know, that was a nice interception. I wonder if he makes it harder for them to make a move, you know, at the back of the roster.
Yeah, that depends on how much they trust Caden Stearns if he's healthy and how quickly Sydney's going to be back. You know, right now he's a starting safety. So it's interesting. He could be a starting safety, you know, in the preseason because CJ's out and he could be cut that quickly because of the guys coming back. Sydney coming back. And if Caden Stearns is, you know, he's a real safety. It's not somebody transitioning to the position. Vic seems to like him. So I got to believe that means something.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. John, good stuff tonight. Thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Make sure you guys hit that like button. We appreciate that. Johnny Mack, good stuff tonight, man. Thanks for spending 49 minutes with me talking about this shit
show. I just hope Jalen Hurts isn't running scared. Well, you know, everybody's worried about Kenny Pickett. Jalen Hurts has got to be running scared.
Jalen Hurts got nothing to worry about, Johnny Mack. John, thanks for joining tonight, man. We appreciate you being here, as always.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thanks, Johnny Mack. There's good stuff from John McMullen there. I'll wrap up the show here in a couple minutes. Just going to do a little bit of a chat check. I appreciate all you guys being in here tonight. Great crowd here on Jacob Sports tonight. Almost 700 watching on YouTube. So good stuff there. I saw one comment I wanted to bring up that I didn't know what he meant. Angel says, did you talk about 46, the bum? Who is the bum, Angel? You got to let me know who the bum is. Who wears 46? I can't even think of who wears 46. Somebody got to let me know who it is. But anyway, good show, everybody. I thought that was a fun show. I know the game wasn't so fun, but look, we got to win, right? We got the dang win. That's what you want to do when you play. Oh, Jacob Harris is 46. Yeah, John mentioned him. Yeah, he didn't do a whole lot of anything, and he had a bigger chance to with Johnny Wilson being out. But anyway, that's going to do it, everybody. Good show tonight. Appreciate all of you guys being here, as always. What are we at on the like count? 130. Come on, man. That's a weak like count for where we are. I know everybody supports the channel more than that. But anyway, we appreciate all you guys. We'll be back on Birds 365 at 8 a.m. So how many hours is that? 9 hours away. Birds 365 coming to you live in the morning. So Johnny Mac is going to be repeating himself about this game. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be. And I'm looking forward to doing that in the morning with him. So thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Hopefully I'll catch you guys in the morning on Birds 365. See you next time, everybody.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.